Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
All right, all right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word, and my fabulous co-host, Miss Brown Sugar. And maybe I am joined by my other fabulous co-host, Mr. Lavender. I don't know if he's there. anyway, you want to holler at us, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, if you want to highlight us, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Also, you want to chat. If chatting is your thing, you can jump into the chat room at smoothdrama.com. You go to smoothdrama.com, guess what? We got an anonymous chat room. You can go in there. You can chat with our fabulous chatting
anonymous people.
Very, very anonymous people. And it gives you all kinds of positive names like Mr. Lavender or Lavender Mister or Happy Lavender Ball-Headed Person.
Ball-headed or bald-headed?
Ball-headed. If you're going to go all the way.
Okay.
Anyway, so smoothdrama.com, jump in the chat room. You want social media with us? Go to Facebook, myself, or Mr. J, he of the Lavender Smooth Hair, will add you to the Smooth Drama Group. Once again, myself or Mr. J, Mr. Lavender. That's his new name, because he smells like lavender, ladies. You just be following. He smells like fresh flowers everywhere he goes.
Lavender is calming. It's supposed to be calming.
I know. Okay. Yeah. So I'm giving him a shout out, Mr. Lavender. Anyway, anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add us. We'll add you back. We can talk a taste. This, that, sneakers to hats. We are all inclusive here. And, of course, we're talking about the more scrumptious apocalypse. I mean, you can't get no more scrumptious than the apocalypse because it's the apocalypse. So, first thing, if y'all didn't know, stimulus is supposed to be coming this weekend. They said it'll come as soon as this weekend. I was like, okay, all right. Give me my money that you're going to take back later.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Give me my money that you're going to take back later. Later. So, also, don't go to the store this weekend.
Why not?
Because it's going to be hot in the street.
Why? Because you think people are being
on parties? Oh, my God, yes.
On crab legs. Oh. It's going to be bottled.
Hey, crawfish boil on mine. Crab boil on mine. It's coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
hello?
It's going to be great. Mr. Lavender!
Who the hell is Mr. Lavender?
Yeah, that'd be you.
You know, I was on before, but I guess you had me on mute and you couldn't hear me, but okay.
No, didn't have you on mute.
So you heard me talking while you were talking?
No, you weren't talking.
Yeah, I was talking.
I was talking. Yes, I was talking. You weren't talking. Because you couldn't be heard.
So you had me on mute.
Okay. So we just didn't hear you. We're not gonna do this. We just couldn't hear you.
He knew I was on. He just didn't want me to say anything yet. Okay.
Okay. All right. So.
Okay.
Yeah. You're welcome. Anyway. So, for everybody out there, it's the apocalypse. Guess what? You want a chance, Mr. Lavender, to get you some extra money? My True Green Lawn is seeking a candidate to be paid $1,000 to play cornhole in 5 different days and complete a worksheet about each experience. Yeah. So, yeah. They want you to go outside. They want you to play cornhole. They're posting it. What? But other people.
Although it is probably needed somewhere along the line, I'm not into the cornhole thing. Okay. They don't have any other dares or anything else they want me to do.
No. So.
Applications
are being accepted on the company's website through April 2nd. And the winner
is
to be announced April 7th.
So why don't you apply?
Because I don't play cornhole.
So so you done opened it up now. What would make you think I played cornhole?
I wasn't talking to you.
You said this will give this, you said Mr. Lavender. If you want to make some extra money.
You said you weren't Mr. Lavender.
Well, you were still talking to me, damn it. Don't try to change the subject or try to change
that's
it up it. Now. You know. Okay, whatever. We're going to let that go. All right, whatever.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, too.
So everybody out there, mytruegreenlawn.com. If you're trying to get your cornhole on, and get $1,000 doing it, you can apply. It might happen for you.
I was going to say, why is it winners, though? How many people are they picking?
I don't know. You just have to apply.
I mean, I don't think you have to, like, do too much except for throw the little ball or the sand thing or the beanbag in the hole, right?
Right. So they just want you to play. They're going to give you $1,000 to play cornhole and write in a worksheet about it.
Okay.
So if you look at it, $200 a day to play cornhole.
They're asking for too much. That's too much.
All
right. If they would have just said you get like 5 of those little pouches or whatever, you get 5 chances to put – you know, for each one, you get $200 a chance to throw them in the hole. You know, whatever you put in the hole is yours to keep. That would have been fine. Now they want you to write all kind of essays and theses about, you know, thesis about your experience. Who wants to do all that?
I don't think you're writing the essay.
Probably people who actually play.
Well, they want you to write about your experience. I could just say it sucked. That, you know, that's my experience. Now give me my money.
Okay.
You know, I don't play by the rules. So they, you know, they will find some loophole within whatever rules and regulations not to give you the money because I didn't do something that they said to do.
Yeah, because you wild like that.
Well, you know, blame it on my color, I guess.
All right. You're going to do that. So, I'm not going to blame this on your color. They said that the stimulus is supposed to be coming this weekend, but
I don't get one, so I'm pissed off.
Okay. Well, you ain't the only person, because they were complaining that undocumented people are not getting it also.
I don't need it. Shit. No offense to, you know, that demographic, but, I mean, if you're here without a Social Security number, why do you think you automatically should, you know, qualify for one? Let's be real.
That was my question too. What you think about that, Brown Sugar?
I'm in agreement with both of you. If you're undocumented, there's no documents to even prove. You know what I mean? That you're here or who you say you are. You know, I guess I would be upset too, but not at the government.
Now, if they're getting money taken out of their checks, it's only because they use somebody else's Social Security number to get the job, and I know that for a fact because I got hit like that.
Yeah,
somebody used my identity to get a job. And worked a whole 2 years at a company, you know, waste management. I ain't never worked there a day in my life, and it took me a whole year to get that cleared.
Oh, did they get fired?
I don't know. They left the company, but, you know, it took the IRS time to investigate it, and come to find out, they got a check, but the check, you know, I guess got, they canceled the check or whatever, you know, because of the way they filed, and they realized that it was, you know, my number. All I know is that when I file again, you know, I don't want no penalties or whatever for something somebody else did. But anyway, let's get on, carry on.
So Brown Sugar, mm-hmm. please stop trying to be Mr. Lavender.
I will.
Okay.
Sorry.
Now, come on now. I mean, come on now, for real.
No, it's messed up. I mean, I've had my identity stolen. It's the reason why I'm not on Skype now, because somebody was me in Korea.
Wow.
I was like, all right, well.
Somebody in Korea?
You. Yeah, somebody was me in Korea. Punk ass buster.
But they can't even, I mean.
Mark ass buster.
How can, right. I mean, if they're in a whole other country, what they going to do with your Social Security number?
I don't think it was just, they were just me. I don't think it was my Social Security number. They were just me. It was horrible. Anyway.
You know, you was over there in one of them little, you know, them little dancer bars, you know, trying to get free lap dances.
You know, the last time I got a lap dance was like my senior year in high school.
So, okay, so I'm going to step away from the phone and yell out bullshit on that one, but okay.
Okay, you can. I don't like strip clubs.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on record with
you
that.
You ain't got to like the strip club to like a lap dance.
Yeah, but I call it something else. Anyway, so.
What, a crotch grind?
No, I'm not going to say it on the air. Anyway.
What?
So,
you were censoring yourself?
No.
Oh,
never.
My God.
Never.
Go ahead. We only got an hour and a half, so, you know, go ahead.
Thank you.
I'm just surprised you're censoring yourself, but that's okay.
I'm not censoring myself. It's,
well, then say it. Say it on the air.
What? It's called
whatever,
sexual relations.
What is it called?
Sexual relations.
How? Okay, I'm confused now, but okay. I don't see how that has anything to do with a lap dance, but okay.
The kind of lap dance he received is a sexual relations lap dance.
So somebody was screwing you in the back room?
No, he's not saying that. He's saying if he is to get a lap dance, it would be a sexual relations kind of lap dance.
Hey, man, if you can pull that off, hey, you know, I'll buy you a drink afterwards. And I know you don't drink, so.
See, you're missing it. I don't.
Not with a stripper, though.
Right. I don't go to strip clubs. I've never liked strip clubs.
Okay. I stopped going to them a long time ago, but my reason is totally different.
Okay.
I just refuse to, you know. Fund somebody's
way through college
education education, and they've been going to the same nursing school for 12 years. I mean, come on now.
See, you're hating. They're studying hard at night.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of studying hard at night, so there's a study. They're studying the sea slug, the Marginata sea slug, because apparently that there are two species of this sea slug that can cut off their own head and regrow their body.
What the hell is a sea plug?
Sea slug.
Sea slug, what is that?
Yeah, it's a snail underwater.
And we should care because...
Oh, because if you think about it, they can regrow their body their whole body in less than a month. So 20 days, they have a whole new body. So it's like saying, hey, I don't like this body no more. I just cut my head off and grow another. So that the study is, and this was published Monday in Current Biology. It's like maybe one day after everybody has been given the wrong dose of the coronavirus and we all have a sea slug DNA and genes, mm-hmm. we can cut our heads off and grow new bodies.
They probably already been trying to figure out how they can do that. I mean, we just late finding out.
Nope. Possibly.
Right, that's why you do research. I mean, because what? There are a lot of lizards that do that, right? You grab the tail, they break the tail off. So,
but that was from lizards that are able to regenerate their own, their own limbs or whatever. Yeah. That was over the course of millions and millions of years, and that's just how it is, certain organisms are able to do that. Now
right.
You've got science coming in and trying to duplicate or replicate something that Mother Nature gave certain species the ability to do.
Right, so you're trying to give it to yourself. So let's say
By the time they perfect something like that, hopefully I'm not even here anymore.
Well, not you per se, but humans.
Yeah, so for example, Dennis Rodman did this thing. It's in his documentary where he apparently was high on drugs. And he dove naked on the woman and, like, broke his dick. So,
well, first of all, you can't break your dick.
Well, according to him, he broke it and it... blood sprayed all over the place.
Well, you can rupture the veins, the blood vessels, yeah. And you're a man, once it gets swollen, that's definitely when it can happen.
Yeah, but people would say that's breaking your dick.
Okay, yeah. So he broke his dick, so now what?
So, if he had sea slug
DNA,
it's no problem. Plop. And just like, hey, look, I just have to see you next week.
Or in 20 days.
Yeah, 20 days. I'll catch you next month.
Or he could just leave well enough alone. He could live well enough alone. And eventually, within maybe a month or two time, those same veins or those blood vessels that were ruptured heal themselves, and boom, he's back in business.
Same thing. New dick.
So why? So okay, what is the true benefit of all the scientific studies? I mean, eventually,
the benefit would be to get rid of a part of your body that no longer that you feel like if you have a limb that's cut off and you can regrow it. So I mean,
okay, I get that, but who's to say? But my question is this. Who's to say that if you remove that part of the body, the existing gene or the structure of DNA, your DNA is still going to be the same. So when it grows back, who's to say that doesn't grow right back?
If you don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. They're working on that to figure it out.
Mm, well, like I said, I hope I'm no longer here when that happens. So I don't need no doctor coming into my room talking about, okay, Mr. Johnson, that broken thing.
Is that a play on words? Are they talking to you? Or are they talking to your Johnson? Which one is it?
Me as a whole being, okay.
Okay.
Me as a person.
Like, okay, Mr. Johnson, like.
Okay, how about this? Okay, Mr. Highball, we're going to replace that big toe of yours, and it's only going to take about 20 days to do, and this is how we're going to do it. You're down for that.
So, So I'm gonna ask you this: Are we using our real names on the air?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just talking about whomever that person
okay.
is. Are you down to do it?
No, I'm talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you find any other interesting scientific news we can talk about? Because this is getting kind of boring.
Okay.
But wait a minute. Okay, I got one.
Wait,
so,
I have to stop you there. Listen, no, I have to stop you there because you don't have to talk. You can just listen if you'd like or not listen at all. Correct?
Now, who are you talking to? Me or him?
I'm talking to anyone that's bored.
I'm not bored. It's just that conversation was getting kind of like going nowhere.
All right, so then that means you can stop talking and you can wait for him to do his next.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Yes, mother.
Thank you, son.
Wow, we're sunning people now. All right, so we're going to get into the dumbass of the week. All right, dumbass of the week out here in the Bay Area. This chick, she was unmasked. The Uber driver was asking her, "Hey, can you please, you know, put on your mask?" She's like, "Nah." So on the video, she's like, she's coughing on him, pulls his mask off, and they're cussing him out. And one of his homegirls sprays him too. I think it was mace, whatnot. And so it's the social media clip. Y'all can look it up because it's
sure
right
it's
here.
News.
Yeah,
it
is. Yeah, I think it was in San Bruno, whatever.
Yeah, well, San Francisco, San Bruno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these women, it was a short ride. He's like, "Look, y'all got to get out." Snatch his cell phone, pull off his mask, all this other stuff, cuss him out, coughing on him, all on video, by the way. And then she says that she was, y'all don't understand, there's another side of the story. All I did was take his mask off and cough a little bit.
I don't think she realized, like, because she was videotaping it too as well. So she had a rebuttal post, I guess, saying, you know, like her side of the story or whatever. But, I mean, I don't think it mattered after.
Let me tell you her retort. Okay, yeah, I ain't going to lie. That was disrespectful as fuck. I was dead ass wrong for that. But it could have been avoided.
Yeah. And she put a mask on. That's all she had to do. She knew what she was doing when she got into his car. She knew
well,
it was going to be some confrontation or some pushback. Plain
yeah.
and simple. She was wrong.
She said,
and anybody that helped her out in that whole thing was wrong.
Right. She said that he was trying to drop her off in an unsafe neighborhood. He could have waited and made sure we were safe. And she threatened to sue Uber. Who, of course, put her on the ban list. Then she said, "Well, that's why I take Lyft." And then Lyft banned her. Like, no.
Well, one of them was arrested in Las Vegas, and the other one is supposed to turn herself in. So we'll see how this
I don't see what the problem was. She was wrong. Okay, if memory serves me correct. Two of the three women that got into the car had on masks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't say anything to any of them until she got in the car. She was the last one to get in. So before he turned around, put the car in drive or whatever he did, all he said to her, "Could you please put your mask on?" She chose not to. So rather than sit there and argue with her the whole nine, I would have put the car in the park, you know, put your out of service sign or whatever, or let, you know, Uber know that you're out of service for a moment and then I would have proceeded to call 911. Let the cops deal with it. That's all that had to happen. But now, you know, but now they done put themselves in a position like their faces are on camera. I don't care if there were like 3 different versions or 30 different versions of the same thing. You know, their faces are now on camera. They've been recorded. Everybody knows who they all are. So Uber, Lyft, your regular taxi company, whomever. Ain't nobody got time to be bothered with all that.
Stupid people. That's why dumbass of the week. She don't even have a name, but you got a face. Everybody know you stupid.
I mean, there's no way in the world. How do you even explain yourself out of that? You know,
that's
what you talking to, like a...
dumb, but it could have been avoided. Yeah, just by putting on your mask. I know they ain't wearing masks in Texas, so just go catch an Uber in Texas.
This happened in Texas?
No, this is here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I thought. I was gonna say I thought that was the Bay Area.
Right.
Well,
but that's what I'm saying. Texas and Mississippi, you don't need a mask.
Oh, well, you need a mask. They just don't want to wear them. Just
right.
Like in Atlanta, you know, and in Florida, you know, you're going to have hot pockets. I mean, I'm telling you, as the summer comes along, watch those numbers in those states go right back up. Watch it. Just watch. And then they're going to be complaining, well, we needed to boost our economy. You could have boosted the economy, you know, but, you know, and I blame it on the governors, you know. Mandate that you can be out and about, the restaurants can...
I'm not going to blame it on the governor because...
Well, no,
governor,
what I'm saying is the governor... Well, what I'm saying is instead of like what the governor of Mississippi or Texas wanted to, they lifted the restrictions. I mean, just completely said...
Right. Right. You don't need
okay. Now, that was dumb of him. That was really dumb.
Right.
He just wanted to... He
yeah,
just,
it's Mississippi.
And I understand,
it's Mississippi. Of course it's
but
what,
okay, yeah, but I don't want to automatically say that they're the dumbest state in the union, but it's like all he had to do, all that was really required of him, all he could have said was when you're out and about in the public areas, you still need a mask. When you're in stores or restaurants, movie theaters, wherever, wear your mask.
I'm going to ask you this, sir. Have you ever been to Mississippi?
Been through there, didn't want to stay.
All right. So Nina Simone did a whole song about it, Mississippi Goddamn. She's like, maybe one day somebody's going to use this as a show tune. It ain't been written yet, but this was perfect, Mississippi Goddamn.
Well.
You know, because Mississippi sucks. They backwards. We're just going to... Say backwards, walking backwards while going forward.
They can't help it for the level of
ignorance.
That's a better way of putting it. But they can't help it because for those in that state that have the least bit of common sense, they're outnumbered. You know, so it makes it just makes even those with some sense are just outnumbered by a bunch of idiots and dummies.
Right.
So there's no way you can defend that.
No, but see, I've been saying this for years, and this takes me to my next thing, and I've been railing against this for like 20 years now. So there are intelligent people, and then there are unintelligent people. The unintelligent people are having 3, 4, 5, 6 kids. See, the intelligent folks not having kids. So, who we going to blame? Who am I going to blame? I'm going to blame y'all. See?
Who are y'all?
You smart people, so-called intelligent, common sense people, ain't got no kids. It's y'all fault. We outnumbered
here. Why is it our fault?
Because we outnumbered out here, smart people having kids, but then it's an inordinate amount of stupid mother that have
so
kids.
You call so are you calling certain people involved in this conversation stupid for not having kids?
No. I'm saying.
Well, you just said.
Your fault.
What he's saying is you would help out the human race.
Thank you.
If more smart people had children.
Yeah.
Because then they wouldn't outnumber the children, the people who are not who are having kids that aren't so smart.
Well, that's just. Well, that's kind of debatable, I guess, but I mean,
everything is debatable. I'm sure there are some smart people. He's not saying everybody that has kids isn't smart. What he's saying is more people who have children are not smart. So maybe smart people are having children, but maybe they're just having one kid.
Or no kids.
Or no kids.
So,
out of 30 smart people, two of them have kids.
And
so
out of 30,
why include
people, 30 of them have kids?
So why include the ones? So why are you including the ones that don't have kids? Why don't you just talk about all those that have kids and spread and then separate them into two different groups?
I just
smart
did
people.
That.
No, but
I
you said the
that.
Ones that you said the ones that don't have kids.
Right.
I'm
yeah,
talking about. I'm just talking about those. That have kids.
Okay, so let us revisit the argument real quick. There are two people that I'm saying. There are intelligent people and then people who common sense could knock their ass out if Mike Tyson had it on his glove and was punching their ass. Point is, 30 of them have kids. Out of 30 people, right? So, out of the smart people, 2 out of the 30 have kids. So, guess what? We are outnumbered with ignorant fools raising ignorant-ass kids. We don't have the counterbalance of smart people, intelligent folks, raising smart, intelligent, respectful kids. And boom, that is the problem. That's all. Simple argument. That's all I'm saying.
I guess.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. We need help out here in these streets. We need help out here.
Well, if you people with kids would just stop fucking without a rubber on, that would solve the problem right there.
I
agree. It would help.
I don't think that's the problem. Okay, but see, the people.
I mean, birth control is an option.
Okay, so we sound like Bill Gates here now?
Birth control isn't an option?
Okay.
No.
For
everyone.
Right, I know. Oh. And that's why we have this vaccine.
Maybe some of you dudes out there may want to practice up on your pullout game. How about that?
Okay.
Weak pullout games. Weak.
All right. Well, weak pullout game is a thing. I won't argue.
Yeah.
Weak pullout game. All right. So, on that note, we're going to go on break. It's Wu-Tang Clan. Clan in the front.
Clan in the front. Let your feet stomp. Niggas on the left. Rags to death. The boots on the right. Wild for the night. Walk in the back. Come on in the track. The boom is coming through. The outcome is critical. Fucking with my style. Sort of like a miracle. On 34th Street. In the square of Harold, I gave Ella. The bitch caught a fist like Daryl. Deep Ferraro. Was full of sorrow. But the hope didn't win. But the sun will still come out tomorrow. And shine, shine, shine like 09. Here comes the drum horn. With a quarter valentine. Pass the bone. Kid, pass the bone. Let's get on this mission like Indiana Jones. This is the one who just represents the Wu-Tang clique. With the game and soul of an old school flick. Like the Mac and Dolomite who both did this. Jordan went to Coolia and had bad kids. So stop the like you say, nigga, your motherfucking home. I'll hang your ass with this microphone. Make way for the mercy traffic. Wu-Tang coming through with full metal jacket. God's heart, that's mad hard to serve. Confront hearts to burn hard. Yes, but he deserves. Playing in the front. Niggas on the left, rags to death. Boots on the right, wild for the night. Boots in the back, come on in the track. To whoop the response while I bomb the ass. You ain't shit, you whack-ass town, hatch your gas.
We ain't talked enough about the apocalypse lately. So we know there's folks getting vaccinated by thousands every day, and you're just watching, right? Everybody's looking to see people get their first shot, see folks get their second shot,
mm-hmm.
and. Yeah, we had the thing, what was it, Oakland Coliseum,
mm-hmm.
where they gave folks the wrong dose.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people got the wrong dose. Well, apparently in Virginia, people expecting to receive their COVID-19 vaccine at Kroger's, they were injected with something else, and they're apologizing. They're saying, we don't know exactly how many customers were affected, but maybe... maybe a small number of individuals were given saline shots instead of vaccines. Yep. It was an honest mistake.
So basically they got salt water.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Can't be any worse than taking a pill and it's nothing but a placebo and it's sugar pill.
Well,
no harm, no foul.
Well, I think we...
I guess your expectation is, I mean, to get something, though, right? Like, I don't want to go out there and think that I am vaccinated and I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody wants that. But if you are one of those that got the wrong shot and then come to find out it was nothing but saline water, you know, sugar, I mean, salt, yeah, you're mad, but... you just get your butt back in line to get the right one. I mean, what else can you do?
But do you trust them now? Are you going?
You
go
didn't
to
trust
the
them in the first place.
Right. So this causes major distrust, right? Because folks are already a little touchy feely behind getting the vaccine, right?
Well, I'll put it to you like this. This is something that Whoopi Goldberg, she made a comment that made a lot of people think. A lot of people, especially in the black community, are really hesitant about getting the shot, basically because of the Tuskegee incident, about those experiences. So we're still dealing with all the fallout from that. But this time around, you can't necessarily say, well, I'm not going to get the shot because of Tuskegee, because everybody is getting the shot. So you can't say that the government or whomever is going after like one certain demographic.
I mean, and you know what, and I agree with that. I think that it's not necessarily about Tuskegee per se. It's just a mistrust of the government. That's just an example of how people don't trust the government. It's not an example of, them doing something specifically to black people or people, you know.
Okay, so in the meantime, if you don't get it, but yet you sit around here every day, you go on to work or whatever, whatever it is you're doing in your day-to-day dealings, and people dropping like flies, what is the real alternative? Do you get it or don't you? See, I'm at the point now where, yeah, whenever they call me or whenever they say, okay, you know, you fall within, you know, this group of people, so you can come on and get your shot. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to get it, because the only alternative is sitting around not getting it and possibly dying.
Okay.
Well, they said only, 75 to 85% of people needed to be vaccinated. So if those 75 to 85 people get vaccinated before I do, I'm good with that. But then also, I'm good with
waiting.
They're
saying only 10% of the country has been vaccinated.
I think a lot of people just don't want to be first.
But they're also saying only like a little, like 9.5 or 9.8%. Excuse me, 9.5 or 9.8% of the total population has been vaccinated.
Right.
So my point is, that, you know, the hell what other people think or feel. If I can get the vaccination, you know, and it's going to, you know, give me a chance, you know, at not getting sick. I mean, I haven't been sick yet so far, but still. If it's just going to increase my chances of not getting sick or not ending up with it, why wouldn't I get it? I mean,
But for people who are not comfortable with it, then that's their choice as well. You've made
right,
your
but see the thing, but see, okay, but the point I'm trying to make is, yeah, I mean, people are going to do what they're going to do, but those people that, for whatever their reasons for not getting it and want to walk around with no mask on or whatever, even with those people that do get it, they're still putting other people in harm's way.
Right.
That's been proven. That's been proven already. So
right.
if I can get, you know, one of the two shots or even get both of them and be able to move around a little bit more freely, you know, rather than having to, you know, I mean, still wear my mask, but I can go into areas or do things where I couldn't do it before because nobody was vaccinated.
Back to the strip club. Shake it, baby.
I ain't been to a strip club in over 20 years. I mean, come on, stop it now. If I want that, I can have that at the house. But my point is, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm hanging out with a friend or a group of friends who refuse to mask and definitely are not trying to get the shot. I'm just not doing that because they pose more of a threat or more harm to me than somebody who may only wear their mask once in a while or every so often, you know.
What are we saying here? We're saying that everyone has their choice, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. Now, we talk, because, you know, I've talked about healthy lifestyle and doing certain things. You know,
are you getting the shot?
I was talking crazy when I say spray bleach in the air. Look, once again, I do my due diligence.
Are you getting the shot? Yes or no?
Eventually. I'll get there. I'm just not.
But is that a yes or a no?
The first rollout is always the mess up, as we've seen.
But they've already had the first roll. They've got like three versions of the shots now.
They've got two.
And then now there's for one of
Johnson
the
Johnson and
shots,
Johnson's version is coming out.
There's a rash now. So those first people didn't get a rash. The second set of people are getting a rash. So my choice is to wait and see. Not that I'm not going to get it, but I have the choice to wait and see what happens.
So if they told you in the beginning, okay, by getting this shot, the side effects of the shot, or the worst side effect of getting the shot, is probably a little bit of nausea for like a couple of like maybe a week or so, and then you'll probably get some type of skin and irritation, which will result in a rash. If those were the only two real big, you know, effects of the shot, would you still get it?
I would still wait.
If they're telling you ahead of time.
I would still wait.
Well, you have to stay in the house with your mask on.
And guess what? I'm so fine with that. I'm not mad at that.
Right. I'm not taking the opportunity to one, be the guinea pig, two, to endanger my health. Because, I mean, if your health is in danger anyway. My job is a very public job. So I'm around.
But you go into that environment every day. I mean, well, I guess if the kids are in school, taking that chance.
Right.
Right.
So, point is, my same habits that I've always had, I have you. Now, we're distance learning. So, right now, there's no danger.
But eventually, one day, they're going to say, okay, everybody back in school.
One day. And guess what? I'll be ready. Until then, I'll wait. Patiently wait. I'm not going to jump on the front lines and be one of the people who get the wrong dose or get saline and all that. I'm like, look, let's streamline the process. Let's get it right. And I'm going to say this, and it's not even controversial. I'm not going to go and get the shot in a poor neighborhood. I'm going to go where the people have means go and get their shot. Because I'm going to guarantee whatever the means neighborhood, the suburban neighborhood, they don't mess up the shots there. I'm just going to take an educated guess.
That sounds kind of prejudiced, but okay.
No, it's not prejudice. It's kind
of. It is, because there's no guarantee going into a quote-unquote better neighborhood that, you know, certain things may happen that you think will only happen in the bad neighborhoods. It could happen anywhere.
I mean, nothing is guaranteed anyway. So, but it's been on the news that people in more affluent neighborhoods are getting the shot faster than the people in the less affluent neighborhoods who need it because they have a higher rate of catching COVID. So wouldn't you serve those communities first?
And on top of that, we have not heard of any incidents in those areas. We've only heard of incidents, and I'm talking about the ones that have gotten public, because we know there are some that haven't been public. These all have happened in less affluent neighborhoods. Just an observation, just a casual observation. You see it, and it's happened multiple times. So is it a coincidence when something happens again and again and again, or is it common, regular?
Well, I'm registered with the hospital, so whenever they call me in at the hospital, that's where I'm going.
Yes.
And the hospital I'm registered.
That's your choice.
Am I registered? And I'm registered at, like, the number four hospital in the country. It's number one in the state, but number four in the country. So
okay.
I'm cool.
Right. So that proven my point.
Well, no, it doesn't really prove a point because it's in the
place that's number four in the whole country.
But that's because of the way the staff is. And, huh?
That would be a more affluent hospital, right?
No, it's not.
How
it
is
really
it not
isn't.
Affluent? Affluent doesn't mean that you have more money. It just means that you have better.
It actually does.
I mean, it does mean that. But what
well,
I'm saying,
okay, we'll put this: the hospital is actually.
That doesn't necessarily mean that.
The hospital is in a, let's just say, an urban area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is, and it's and the hospital is part of the state university, which is Rutgers, which is also in a urban area.
Okay.
So you can't really say it's by, you know, the aesthetics. It's a affluent hospital, because no, it's basically in a majority black area.
Okay. I mean, so is UCLA and USC. But they're
yeah, but, well, I'm just saying that just because of their title, they're only ranked because of certain what would you say, proficiency, whatever it is that they specialize in, they're great at doing that particular thing. You know.
Well, right. That's how you get ranked, because you're great at something.
Right, but you could be, well, my point is, you could be in a poor neighborhood or a rich neighborhood. It really doesn't matter at that point.
Right. So all I've said is I am going to cut down on my chances of, I'm going to use a big word, malfeasance. And yes, I can spell it.
I hope you can. I mean, you are a doc. I mean, you are a teacher. You should be able to spell it, but go ahead.
I'm just saying. So I'm going to cut down on the opportunity for me to be taken advantage of. And there are certain places, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go where there is affluence. I just am. Yes, I could have had the shot a long time ago. I'm waiting. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's been offered to us for a long time now. So, yeah. I'm waiting. So, that's what it is. So, we're gonna talk about something else. So, this new word that I don't like, I don't really care for it. Woke.
Oh yeah.
All right. So everybody's woke now, as they say. I thought we were awake. It's like
I'm barely awake most days.
Open your eyes.
Even when my eyes are open, I'm not.
All right. Well, anyway, Senator Scott, he's a darker skinned individual who is, you know, he's working hard to get Republican dollars in his coffers. He says that woke supremacy is bad as white supremacy.
The only ones claiming that they're woke, really, nowadays, are white folks. Black folks have been woke. It's the new cliche term that they use to kind of want to, like, I guess you could say, try to assimilate into a greater audience. Black folks have been woke.
Yeah, we've been saying that for quite some time.
We've been saying that. We've been woke, even within our own numbers. I mean, there may have been some of us who may not be as woke as others, but for argument's sake, black folks have been woke. So the only ones that ain't woke are those white folks trying to assimilate and trying to, in their own way, apologize for their own ignorance.
Well, so for example, when they're talking about woke supremacy, they say the tax on Dr. Seuss.
Oh, please.
It's woke supremacy.
That man has written over.
Nobody came and asked that. They decided to do that on their own.
Right. Well,
so,
yeah,
he's
written over like.
What are we talking about here?
The man has written over, over 50 books. And they take 6 books out of his collection of books that he's written. 6 books, mind you, and now all of a sudden it's a big issue.
Well, so for example, we you know, remember there's some books, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Finn. They may have some racist stuff in it, right? So,
but this is different. They already banned those books.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. They've edited those books, and then there's so like Disney Plus. They block films with racist depictions, and folks was upset by that. Like, what? So we can't, our kids can't see racist caricatures no more. It's really hurtful.
Well, you can still see them. It's just a lot of those images, a lot of those stories or cartoons or whatever that they, like, for example, you will never be able to see Uncle Tom's Cabin again. They took that completely off. It's not on any of their streaming services or anything. You just, unless you got a, well, I'm just saying, unless you have a copy when it was like on video or whatever, you cannot even pull it up on, you can't pull it up on the internet and watch a copy.
All right, so Mr. J, hold on a second. We have a caller. Caller.
What up?
Caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling from and what can we do you for?
No, I'm in Atlanta, man. Just wanted to weigh in on what y'all was talking about real quick.
Jump in.
Yeah, so first things first, understand the right wing right now doesn't have any policy answers or legislative answers. So everything they do now is culture war, emotional stuff. Like, that's basically their platform. So when they tried to make this thing out of Dr. Seuss, as the sister was saying, that was actually the estate of Dr. Seuss and the company saying, hey, we're not going to print these books anymore because these few books have some problematic things in it that we don't want to become a problem for us later on. So they stopped. They said they're going to stop printing those books. The right wing immediately jumped on it and made it into somehow a political cause of censorship, which makes no sense because we're talking about a corporation looking at their bottom line and saying, hey, this ain't good for our brand. Like, that's all that was. And it's just like the whole thing of woke. Basically, the right wing takes language from that becomes mainstream or popular and turns it into a way, you know, for them to
a political weapon.
Essentially, yeah. So you get the idea of wokeness, you get the idea of their new term where they basically turn political correctness into wokeness and all this other stuff. It's just the same old stuff they've been saying since the 90s. You know what I mean?
It's
the same stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's just reheated, same old right-wing trash, and people are falling for it. That's the sad part. So when you get a coon like Tim Scott, when he comes out and says, and wokeness is worse than white supremacy, well, I mean, he gets paid to do that. We know what that dude is about. Just the con game. He's running. That'll keep him getting elected. He's playing the game. But when you see so many people, like, seriously arguing with these folks about this stuff, like, dude, I don't talk to these conservatives about stuff like this.
Right.
Like, you want to talk about old-school conservatism, supply-side economics or something, I have a conversation with you. But if you start talking about Dr. Seuss, man, I'm not listening to you. You're a grown man in here crying about Dr. Seuss. Like, I'm not doing it.
You don't even have a book. Ain't even read it.
But that's why he's chiming in now, because, like you said, he can't go any deeper with whatever it is that his, you know, whatever it is that he stands for. So with something like, you know, the estate of Dr. Seuss pulling certain books, this was right, you know, this was right up his alley. It's easy for him to, you know, chime in on this than say, you know, anything like if it is anything deeper than what we're talking about, he would be at a loss.
Well, think about it. We just saw a Republican convention where they didn't have a party platform. We've never seen that in American history where a party didn't have a platform. What policies or legislation they wanted to pass. So basically, cancel culture is their new form of saying political correctness. It doesn't actually mean anything. Because then you think about it, the only person who got canceled is Colin Kaepernick. Everybody else get a new job and you know what I'm saying? They keep it moving. It is what it is. The only person I see lose their gig and not work again is the boy Cap. But you let the right wing tell it, we're living under censorship. And these people are calling Joe Biden a socialist. I'm like, the segregationist, raggedy-ass center-right Joe Biden? You calling him a socialist? Like, what?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, because you got to remember, he was in the Senate before Obama, but they're basically saying that he's spewing the same stuff Obama spewed. Like, he's just picking up from where Obama left off.
But that's even more foolishness, because Obama is far from a socialist. Look, Obama would run a socialist over in his car to save a Wall Street banker. Like, he's a center right politician through and through. So to call him a socialist is crazy.
He did run over a socialist, the bankers, right? Because the first thing he did, he bailed out big bankers.
The auto industry.
Right. Well, no, he bailed out the banks. He bailed
the banks
out anybody
first, then
that
auto.
Was a billionaire. He bailed them out. That was the first thing he did. People forget that. You know, he didn't bail out. There were no stimulus checks for us. George Bush gave us money. Obama didn't. I'm just saying. Just pointing out. I want to say first.
Regardless who gave who what, the bottom line is the conservatives, the Republicans, however you want to label them this week, whenever something like, you know, this, the woke agenda comes out, or the BLM agenda comes out, of course they're going to try to bring out all their guns and shoot it down before it gets out of hand.
Well,
unfortunately for them, what works against them within their own party, you have certain demographics within their own party that are starting to open up their eyes, being woke, and they're starting to realize that a lot of the stuff that they used to campaign for and vote for in the past, it really affects them, like with this COVID. How, you know, you want things to go a certain way for your party and for your people, but when you realize, like with the Republicans, when you realize that a lot of the top tier Republicans, a lot of the benefits that they've been getting, the lower tier Republicans, like the everyday Republicans, they're not getting that stuff.
Right, but that's how it always goes. Socialism is for the rich. Capitalism is for the poor. Let's be real about this for a second. First, I want to say, brother from Atlanta, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. Please call in again. Please participate in the chat room. We'd love to hear from you again. All right? First, thank you for calling. Second, look, it's always been that way. It's always
But a lot of us don't know that. There's
rich people and everybody else. So, look, if you got real eyes, so when I see Republicans, Democrats, I just see rich people. They vote in unison for each other and their policies. They've never went against each other. Yeah, they'll do some stuff that'll get some deadlock. They'll do a little bit. Yeah, they'll throw you $1,000, but they'll throw a rich guy $111 million. So we just got to look at, there's a reality that just happens. And folks just got to look at it for what it is. It's not no, ain't got nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. No, it's rich folks. Look out for rich folks. And fuck y'all. That's where we at. That's where we've always been and where we always will be. On that note, we got to take a little break here. This is the homies from Houston, HISD, Piano Sunrise.
Representative, king, let me help with the track, no, it's Canada, to the soundtrack, baby. Piano play, I offer strength for symphony. Like Craig G, how I sit over heat. Alicia, Mary feels like Felicia. A perfect match with traps and contracts. The teacher, sit next to me while I preach over ivory. Phantom of the opera with a mask on. Singing my song behind the horn song. Well, come on, clap for me. I present to you the harmony and R&B. Consider me a prodigy. I might be havoc on the industry. Goofy, rap TV. You wonder why you can't see me? Cause you blind, baby. To the fact like food. I see clear with imagery, it's all in the mind. Beautiful scenery, your rhyme. Close your eyes and vibe. Piano sunrise.
No shit. So what happens is there's some guy comes on Fox News and he argued that the British royal family couldn't possibly be racist because many of the Queen's colonial subjects are black and Asian. Let me quote Richard Menard. I don't think the royal family is racist. You've got to remember that for nearly half a century, the Queen has been the head of the Commonwealth, which is a number of lands around the world that were from the colonial days, and the majority of the people who live in those lands are black and Asian. So the Queen is far from racist.
You know I totally disagree with what you just said, but okay.
I didn't say it. Richard Menard said it.
Well, whomever said it.
Okay.
As long as they continue to this day to still hold some type of rule or power over those other countries or lands or properties, whatever you want to call it, and the way they treat the people on those lands, on those properties, it's racist.
Yeah.
It's racist in the sense, let's just take it back to England. It's racist in the sense
that's
for
why
over... Well,
that's
I don't know the origin of the Groundhog Day. Don't even care about it. My point is this. It's easy for someone who's racist to say they're not racist because they don't realize what they're doing is racist. They don't recognize Let me finish. They don't recognize the ways in which they carry themselves or the effect that it has over other people. They don't realize that they're the way they behave or the way they treat people in public or how they've been treating people for years and even centuries has been wrong. And even now we're in a culture or we live in a society where we have all these things to our, you know, at our fingertips. It's like their level of racist or ignorance is just, it's unbelievable because it's so easy for them to push a button or have somebody go get the information for them to show them what they're doing wrong, but they refuse to do that. They refuse to acknowledge it. And then you also got to realize that they've been doing what they've been doing for so long, it's a learned behavior.
It's what we do. It's what we do. So
it's what we do.
Right. So, like you said, I ain't talking about us. It's what they do. So when you put yourself in your oppressor's body for a second, we only going to be there for a second, right? So you put yourself in your oppressor. Yeah, of course. Like, hey, how am I racist? Look, I used to own you. What am I racist? You know, it's...
But in a certain way,
you
still do.
I gave you chitlins. How am I racist? Look, we used to own y'all, so there's no way that I could be racist. And look, by extension, look, without us, how would those countries have survived? See, that's the hubris.
They're never going to acknowledge that half the stuff that
they don't have to.
The tools that they use, the way they cook their food, the medicines, and all that. We basically, in some way, either discovered it, made it, or were already doing it well before they came to power.
Well, that is not the issue, right? So they don't care about acknowledgement. They don't care about none of that. I mean, because we're in charge.
But that's part of the problem.
You think so?
How can you acknowledge? Okay, first of all, the first thing you have to do, and if you're racist or whatever, is acknowledge that there is a problem. If you can't acknowledge that there's a problem, then the rest of the conversation is mute.
Okay. So I think it goes beyond them recognizing. So, for example, I'll go to something that I saw that just made my heart feel good. President Akufo-Addo from Ghana.
their number one export is cocoa beans, and it was the production and export of raw materials, including the cocoa bean, was their number one thing. And so, what did he say? He came out and said, you know what? Switzerland wanted them to continue that business. So you export, and Switzerland would make the chocolates and get rich. So what he said was, we're going to stop exporting our cocoa bean to Switzerland. We're going to keep our chocolate cocoa beans. We're going to make the chocolate, and we're going to export the finished product and make the billions of dollars that come from that. Because, you know, a lot of people love that Swiss chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate.
And I guarantee
they don't know
you
that the beans come from Ghana.
Yeah. In about 5 years, Ghana will see a profit. They will see their money. They will see their product making money for them within five
right.
years. I guarantee it.
Right. But that's the point. So that is the beauty of that statement. Like, you know what? We're not gonna ship it out to you and get a little bit and y'all get a lot. Going forward, we're gonna feed our people, we're gonna leave the jobs here, and we're gonna get all the money that comes from our exports going forward. And if you've seen the video, there's a video where the lady from Switzerland, she's looking like, we need those cocoa beans. Because
well, I mean,
we've been rich off of you all this time, and now we can't. How are we going to live?
But they can always go to Brazil, Peru, Colombia, and get the beans from them.
Yeah.
If they choose to.
Yeah, but guess what? That somebody else has the inside on that. So when the person that you've been messing over this whole time, you've been trading them, you give them $1 for the $5 that they give you. All your life, that's all you know, is you've been messing them over. And now all of a sudden they turn the table and say, nah, we're not going to let that happen no more. I mean, you would have to watch the video to see the face of the president of Switzerland.
Oh, yeah, I'm quite sure they probably screwed somehow, but, you know, it's all about business, eh?
It ain't about screwing. It's about, look, we tired of y'all making the money. We're going to make the money.
Well, yeah, and I'm quite sure, you know, the Swiss government is probably, you know, up in arms and trying to scramble to figure out how they're either going to continue or try to continue doing business, or who they can do business with to replace the business they were getting from Ghana. But here's something even more interesting. Let's take the Chinese government and let's take the country of Nigeria. For, you know, they've been, like, Chinese have been imported into Africa, I guess, like, the last 5 years in numbers, big numbers. And they've been mining and just tearing, you know, stripping the country of everything. But you don't hear about Nigeria complaining. What they did, like, countries like Nigeria and, I guess, South Africa, they just told, like, the people, like the Caucasians, like, we're taking our land back, you know, get out. So basically they've been successful in doing that. They've been, you know, chasing farmers off their land and just taking it back from them. Okay, but then at the same time, you got, like I said, up in Nigeria, the northern, central and northern parts of Africa, you've got, you know, Chinese coming in and basically stealing all the minerals, you know, whatever, you know, mining equipment, tearing up huge parts of the country, and nobody's like complaining about that. Whereas Nigeria could do the same thing that China's doing and keep all that, you know, all that product in house in their own country. But yet they're allowing China to come in and just take.
Because they have bigger bullets. They have more bullets.
Yeah.
So what has to happen? once again, and this is where, you know, incremental steps, right? So you get a country, and I mean it was one of the things when the late great El Haj Malik Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X, went there and was like, not only do we need to put pressure on the colonial powers and talk about human rights violations, but we also need to come together in cooperative economics, whatnot. And so what happens is Ghana comes up and Ghana can become a power. And then you start teaming with the other African nations and you help them to stop being slaves to their colonial masters. Then you operate from a position of strength and you get to hold on to your resources. The reason why third world countries are third world countries is because they don't get to keep their resources.
Wouldn't it be something if they all just rose up one day and traveled within the continent of Africa and went to Saudi Arabia and said, hey, look, y'all is African just like us. Y'all may be lighter skinned or whatever, but you're still African. You're not Middle East. Y'all need to step up to the table, and y'all need to, like, start keeping some of that oil within the continent.
No, and that will never happen because those are Arabs. And
well, they're Arabs, but they're still African.
They're historically, they are on their side.
What side? The country is still attached to Africa, right?
In Saudi Arabia, no. Saudi Arabia.
Look on the continent.
I know. I think you're thinking of Egypt.
Well, Egypt. Yeah, I mean Egypt. My bad.
Yeah. So, yeah. Egypt and Saudi Arabia. Yes, Egypt is on the continent. Yes, they say Middle East for what they call Egypt. But no, yes, it is still what they call Africa. It's on the African continent. So now, because we're gonna come back here to the American continent. So in Evanston, just north of Chicago, they voted to approve a groundbreaking measure where supposedly, the city would financially compensate its black residents to address the wealth and opportunity gaps, as they call it, aka reparations. So
$25,000 is not enough per person.
No. Here's what they're doing. They're using community donations and revenue from a 3% tax collected on the sale of recreational weed. And they adopted a reparation fund and pledged to distribute $10 million over 10 years. And
only 3%?
Only 3%, yeah. Because we got to get that 97%, homie.
That's pennies in the bucket.
Yep. So they distributed $10 million over 10 years, and they decided that the first $400,000 will be dedicated to address housing needs. And they're expected to vote on the 22nd.
And I hope they vote no.
Week and a half from now.
I hope they vote no.
Yep, they're going to do disbursements.
What they ought to do is, okay, you got all these little dispensaries popping up. Why not offer some licenses to some of these young brothers out here so they can open up their own store?
That ain't how pimps work.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you really want to give us some give back, if you're not going to give us checks, meaning, you know, cash money, if you're not going to give us cash money back for over 400 years of what y'all been doing to us, then give us something a little bit more, you know, a little bit more helpful. You know, give us the ability to open up our own dispensaries. Give us, like, if there's any farmland that can be salvaged, give us, at least, if you ain't going to give us 40 acres, at least give us 10 acres. Let us go out there and work our own land.
Right, but see, here's what I think is very, very ironic about this whole situation. Remember, weed was illegal in
I remember when weed was legalized, everybody was celebrating. My homegirls, moms, marijuana, and all them, they all celebrating. I remember we were talking about it. And I'm just like, it's ironic that black folks built up the business just so a rich corporation can come through and put all of y'all out of business.
Basically.
Which is what happened. So, and then the kicker is, and this is the gangster part, we're going to collect 3% of the taxes on the sale of recreational cannabis. So we can give you some of the money that we taking from you. We're going to give it back.
Yeah, some of the same money that you spend it or give you. Yeah, if you spend a dollar, we give you 3 cents back. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that is amazing. That is amazing. I mean, like I said, that's pimping at its finest right there. So it's like I'm gonna give you
reparations. And the sad thing
from the tax money that I take from you in the first place.
And the sad thing is they'll try to sell it back to us like something is better than nothing. It's how they'll sell it back.
Right. So this is where you have to say, okay, what do you do? Right? What do you do? Do you just say, no, we're not gonna play that game and we want the store, like you said earlier? Or do you just like, oh, I'm gonna take that $400,000 and we're gonna be good? Because that's where we have the problem.
Is this gonna be $400,000 per person?
No, 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 no.
Or is it collective? Oh, hell no. They can have that, they can keep it. They can keep it.
You're getting $10 million over 10 years, so you're getting $1 million a year to be given as reparations, right? And so the first $400,000 is gonna be dedicated to address the housing needs in Evanston, Illinois.
They can keep that. They can keep it. You don't have to go any further. Y'all can keep it.
Well,
because in reality,
hold on. I wouldn't say they can keep it. We need more. That's what we're talking about here. We need more.
Right, but see, in order for them to rally together and demand more, it's going to take more effort. And what their pushback will be as well, if you don't take this now, then it's off the table it's off the table till whenever. And most times we're going to act all thirsty and be like, all right, well, we'll take it for now. We'll take it.
No, but you see, this is where the politics come in. So when we talk politics, when you vote for your representatives are supposed to be beholden to you. So if you're doing it right, it's the important part. If you're doing it right, you put in somebody who's going to do it how you want it. So you dedicate how that first $400,000 is going to go. And going forward, you make sure you know how that million a year is going to go. And then you make sure that the next time this comes up, you get more. I'm going to
say
for Miss Brown Sugar and for Mr. J, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth John production. Thank you all for listening. If you want
to have to wait until the midterm.
If you want to continue the conversation, you can go to the Smooth Drama website, smoothdrama.com, and we can continue to talk. Other than that, we're out. Peace. See y'all on the flip side.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth. Drama.